The Paul came, but Yagid Lavaviver. He told Lavaviver. So let's start there. So in the words by Yabai Paul, what's strange? What's strange with the words by Yabai Paul?
Who's the Paul?
So why is that strange?
Why did he come to him?
What type of redeemer was he?
Go on.
No.
Right. But Yabo Hapolit. Very good. The hay is very good, Aaron. The hay is a hay hayadiyah. Hayah means the.
Give him a ticket.
The Polit. The refugee. Like, we're supposed to know who he is. Like, the special refugee. One second.
I just want to get the grammar to pass the street first.
Like, hayah.
By Yabai Hapolit. And the Polit came. Okay, so obviously the Torah feels somehow we're supposed to know who this person is. Vayavah HaPolit, the refugee. What do you mean the refugee?
A refugee.
Vayavah HaPolit. Next, Vayageh LaAvram Ivri. What does that mean? He told Avram Ivri. What strange is that?
Why is it?
What did he tell him?
What? What did he tell him? It says, he told him, what did he say? He didn't say anything. Vayageh Avram Ivri doesn't say what he told him. So it's very strange.
And number three,
why the location where he's
living? Why over here?
Does it tell us he spoke to Avram Ivri? Why over here is the adjective Ivri used? Avram's name was mentioned many times before. The first time, it says Ivri. So again, so now we have to know why. Number one, hey with the hey idea. Do me a favor, this is the last time it ever happens. You must have a chumash. It's not even your chumash, you know that. Right? You must have a chumash starting tomorrow. You get that?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's 5 points every single day off if you don't have a chumash. And you can't walk in and tell us, like, guess what? They stole my chumash today. It's not happening. Okay? No more. It's called responsibility.
Got it.
Let's see if you got it. Okay. So, Vayavai Paul with the Hey Hayadiyah. That's number one. Number two is Vayagad La Avram. What did he tell him? He told him. What did he say? How Ivri. Why is the guy telling us it was Ivri? Go on. Next. What's the next words? And he was living in the fields of Mamre. Why do I need to know? Who cares that Avram was living in the fields of Mamre? That's totally irrelevant. Who cares where he was? Why is it important?
Because it tells you how far he's
come. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
It shows how far he's come.
No, he's right. He's right.
No, he's
right. Okay. And these are the brothers of Achi, Eshkol, and Enor. Eshkol and Enor. These are the brothers of
Eshkol and Enor.
Why is that important? And the passage says, Balei Bris Avraham, and they were Balei Bris with Avraham, and why again is that significant in this passage? So the passage itself, every part of the passage really, Omer Darsheni demands some sort of explanation. So let's see Rashi first. Vayah Vayah Polit. Zah Rashi. Dorfman, start reading.
No problem. Rashi, Yud Gimel. Okay, Midrasha. Lefi pshuto zeog shepalit min hamelchama.
Number one, the first lefi is it saying says lefi pshuto? He says, is it lefi pshuto?
Yeah.
Okay, because this is pashup shad. He says, according to the pashup shad, it's og. And Og was a pullet. He was the one that escaped what?
Ogre.
The marble.
Oh, the marble says?
No.
No,
bro,
it says that after.
No, sorry. Yeah, it says
it says
after.
Both.
It says minimal.
Well, what does it say now?
It says minimal
chum. It's a big difference. See why in a second. Sorry. That's why I asked the Philippe Shuto. The Poshup Shad is Og who escaped the war. Now, why do you suppose that's Poshup Shad?
Because
we're talking about a war. Yeah. So we're talking about a war, so therefore it makes sense that the pullet means the pullet from the war. Wait, now, the reason why I use the word hey is because he must have been a very famous refugee. He wasn't just a stammer guy, he was Og.
Like,
right? He was Og. So one second. So Vayavai HaPullet, and the pullet came. What?
Does Rashi what?
It's kind of interesting how
he... Alright! Aaron, what's the question?
Comes to
what's the question? Somebody a question. I need quiet, please. What?
Doesn't Rashi give a reason
to... Including you, Aaron.
Yeah, with the
problem. Doesn't Rashi say what? Kellerman, turn around and be quiet. Sit straight. What? Let's say it again. Doesn't Rashi say what? Okay. No, say it. Say it. No, say what you're saying, dude.
Why?
Just say what you're about to say.
Rashi said something else.
What do you think Rashi said?
No,
maybe honest on you. What are you saying?
No.
You weren't saying anything?
No.
You're just moving out and saying words, but they weren't saying anything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So the Pasuk Pshat Rashi says, Rashi calls it Piyutai because it makes sense that we're talking about the war, and therefore he emerged from the war. That's why it makes sense that he's a polyphon. In other words, we don't know he's an escapee from what. So Lefi Pshuto means escape from the war. That's Lefi Pshuto. The escapee is from the war, because we're talking about a war. And why is it Hey Hayadiyah? Because we're talking about a very famous person. He's Og. Now, by the way, I'm telling you this now, we're not going to get to this later on. One of the reasons why he's called Og, there's a Medrash that says, very cryptic, that when he came to find Avram over here, Avram was busy preparing Ugos. He was preparing Ugos of Matzis. We'll see this takes place during Pesach time, and we'll see why that's significant later on. So some say Og is a remnant for the Ugos Matzis that he found Avram preparing at the time. What the connection is, hold off. One second. So Lefi Pshutai, this is Og, who is a refugee from the war.
Yeah.
Mickey, what do you want to say? No, that's not what it means. No, what it means, Pshuta means not my Pshat, it means Pshat of the Pusik, as opposed to, we know there are four levels. There's Pshat, Remesh, Drush, and Soyim. Right? She's saying, Lefi Pshuto is this. Then he's going to bring a Medrash, which is either Remesh or Drush. Right? So Lefi Pshuto doesn't mean his Pshat versus somebody else's. Pshat means according to the simple understanding of the pasuk. There's something called pshat. That's layer number one. Then there's remesh and then there's drush. I think I once told you this. That was once at 6 and 9 for Shabbos, and we couldn't be in the main sanctuary Shabbos day because there was a bar mitzvah, or maybe it was even after we finished davening, and we were downstairs. Anyway, there was a form rabbi who actually used to attend he used to come all the time to our service. He said, Rabbi, I love your Torah, it's unbelievable. I said, you never got that growing up? He says, no, so maybe start learning now. So the truth of the matter, he really started getting into Yiddish guy. Then he moved there as well, so I don't know what happened. He's a retired former rabbi, but he was a very nice guy. But anyway, bottom line is, he was officiating this bar mitzvah. I couldn't resist. I got to hit a guy's Russia. So I snuck up into the Yez Nashim, because obviously nobody says the Yez Nashim. Everyone's sitting together. So I was upstairs in the Yez Nashim by himself, and looks at the guy Dashim. And he says, son, I want to tell you something. And he obviously knew a little something. He goes, in the Torah there's something called Pardes. And he goes, Pardes, the Pei stands for Pshat. That's a simple level of Pshat. The simple understanding of the Pusik. And there's Remez, which means it's the homiletics and symbolism. And Remez is symbolism. And Drash, the Dalet stands for Drash, which is the homiletics. And this Tuf stands for Torah. True story.
True story. Wow.
Yep. Okay, so anybody didn't have that, it's not paradise, that's what it's tough in the end, it's what it's samach for sod, anyway, yeah. Which means mysticism, alright? So, okay, so you get that, then then you're worthy of hearing sure from him. It's all good. Alright? But otherwise.
He knew that much.
What?
You know,
what's wrong? Anyway. Okay.
It was close. That's like in that game.
Alright. Okay, bottom line is true story. Everybody say, listen closely. Okay, so Lefi Pshutai, it's Oig, because it's Hey Hayidia. And it's the Pshuta because he's coming from the war. Because he's reading Dorfman.
What?
Continue reading.
What?
What?
Ki rak og melech habashem nishar mi eser refayim v'zeu nishar.
He was the only one that managed to escape from this battle. Okay. Is that it?
Yeah. Shelo hargu amrafel v'chaverav kishu har refayim v'eshtaros karnayim.
Okay, he escaped, but Amraphel was going after everybody. He managed to escape. They have Mezhe Gudah, is that right? What's that? Mezhe Gudah? Is that
right?
Tanchuma. Okay. Yeah. Then he's a quote from the Tanchuma. I don't want to read first. Please let the bang.
Which are?
Tanchuma, I mean, Grash.
Umenish Bereshis.
Hold on.
Gracious Rabba. Hold on. Umenish Bereshis. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Tanchuma. Umenish Bereshis. Rabba, go on.
Umenish Bereshis. Rabba. Is that old Chachali Nidra Mabba? Did he escape from Mabba? Is that Migeser Harifayim?
Okay, one second. So Rashi offers a second pshat that this is Og, not that he escaped the war, but rather he escaped the Mabul. This is Og that escaped from the Mabul. Okay? So Rashi offers two pshatim. Either he's the escapee from the war, or he's escaping the Mabul. Now, the Chayra, Rashi never offers a secondary pshat unless the first pshat doesn't suffice for some reason. B'chayr, pshuta is very good. It's very simple. The pshat is, he's oik, he escaped the war. Fine, very good.
Why does Rashi have to say no? This could be, oh, who escaped the marble?
Why would we go to Avram?
What?
So
why does Rashi offer a second pshat? What's the mile of the first pshat? L'chayr, the mile of the first pshat is the continuity. It's connected to the previous, the immediately previous story about the Melchama. What's the mila of the second pshat? Yes?
Og, when he was like saved by Noach, he promised Noach that he would serve all like Noach, and he would serve Noach and his descendants. So he could use that to trick Avram into thinking.
Okay, maybe. But let's. But okay, maybe. But that doesn't explain why he Rashi offers the second pshat. That's still more of a drush. L'chayr Rashi offers the second pshat because the Hey Hayadiyah makes more sense in the second pshat or the first pshat.
Second shot.
He's the famous Pollet. He's the only guy that escaped the Mamble. Hot Pollet. Oh, that famous Pollet that he was known as, the Pollet.
If he escaped the war, it's hard to, you know, why is it called the Pollet? Now, Rashi just tried to fix it up by saying he was the only one that managed to escape, so maybe that's why he gets the Hey Idea. But really, Hey Idea makes more sense if you're talking about the infamous, that escaped the Mamble. Right? Hot Pollet. The Milo, the first shot, is that continue reading Rashi.
She never had a fallen Mahayu Baaretz,
Kibon, yeah.
Umis Kibon, she Yaharig.
Umis Chaving, and what was Og's intention? Go on.
She Yaharig Avram Yasa as Sarah. He wanted that Avram should be killed and he would marry Sarah.
So what was Og's intention? There's an ulterior motive over here. He was hoping that Avram would go battle, get killed, therefore Asura's alone, he can marry Sarah.
Why didn't you just kill Avram?
Wasn't he really tall though? Like really tall?
Yeah.
Like,
then why couldn't he take out Avram himself? So why couldn't he take out Avram?
Well, that's not what I'm asking.
How could he marry Sarah?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Chari you find also... Power was very small. That's not what that means. Maral talks about what that really means. That
yeah, but like, I was a giant. That's not
like so. That's like a giant doesn't mean like 40 stories tall. I don't think.
Giant.
Much of anything.
Everybody before the mom was like.
I don't know.
There's two people.
I'm not sure.
So always at least 30 feet.
That's exactly what you're in.
There's metrics that says that everybody before the mom was like 50.
Yeah, it's not a question. Anyway, okay. Rabbi Zai. Okay, guys. Now, it's very curious, guys. Curious, very. Moshe, quiet. So the question is, how come it seems that Rashi only supplies a motive for Og when? In the second pshat.
Because it makes sense in the first
pshat. Why?
Because he's a polo of Muhammad.
Thank you, very good. So it makes sense. The first Rashi doesn't require to offer a motive first pshat, because the first pshat, he's a polo from the war, he's going to tell him about the war. Makes sense, right? There's a connection. There's a battle going on. Lot's kidnapped. Okay. Makes sense. But if he's a poet from not the war, he's a poet from the Mamble, what's he going to Avram now about the battle for? Right? So I said, no. He went to Avram because he had ulterior motives over here. Alright? So again, so the mile of the first shot is that's continuous from the previous Pasha, from the previous story of the battle, and you don't have to supply some outside motive. It's rather obvious. He's in the middle of doing battle. Hey, help us with the battle. Makes sense. Your nephew is kidnapped. He's in the middle of battle. He tells him. Fine, it makes sense. According to the second shot, even though the idea makes more sense, because now it's the famous Pullet, but what does it do with, why is he going to Avram now? What's no connection. So Rashi says, no, the connection was, he had ulterior motives, and that was to,
like this shot better.
And that was to save, to have Avram killed so he can take Sarah. Okay, so now at least we worked out the shot in the Rashi, two shot. Rashi, 1 second, what the mile of each shot is. So let's go back. Now you have by a Pullet, and the Pullet came. Now either he's got the motive because of the war, or he got the motive, ulterior motive because he wants Avram dead. But Yad gave Avram Ivri. And he tells Avram Ivri. Now it doesn't really say what he told him. Right? So the Amma Farshim that learned, then the Malman talks about it, the Sif talks about it. I'll just give you one idea. And that is that Adarav, it doesn't say what he said because it was unclear what he said. What does that mean? He comes from the war, he's wiped out, whatever the case is. And he's not even able to convey exactly what's going on, where Lot is, what's going on. Avram has every excuse if he wants. Say, I don't care, talk about it, you're not very clear. I'm not doing anything. Because Avram could have, if he wanted to get out, if he wanted to get out of, you know, being pulled into this war, he could have said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, it's very not clear, right? If you take a look, it says, Vayagel Avram. Right, I mean, look, Pasuk Yedal, Vayishma Avram. Isn't that very strange? Pasuk Yedal says, he tells him, and Pasuk Yedal says, Vayishma. Like, it's very, right?
A lot of you heard.
What does it mean? Which means he understood. Now you hear it. In other words, Avram was made sense of the gibberish that Ov was telling him. Because it wasn't quite clear exactly what's going on, but Avram understood that his nephew Lot was kidnapped. Meaning, if he wanted, he could have dismissed it. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, what are you saying? It doesn't make sense. I don't know. He's located. Who's kidding? Sure. But Vayishma, he understood it. Because Avram was not looking to shirk his responsibility. In fact, it says, Avram at this time was ensconced, very satisfied, very safe, very secure. In the fields of Mamre, far from battle, everything's fine. Avram did not go to battle to protect himself. Like, I better go to battle, I'm next. No, not at all. He's not next. He's in the fields of Mamre, far from the battlefield. Nobody will bother him. And not only that, he has the Bali Bris with him. He has Eshkar and Enel, they're all his Bali Bris, which means that even if he would be attacked, they would, because they made a bris, they would help defend him. So that's why the pasuk says that they would with him, they were the Bali Bris. He was assured protection anyway. There was no reason to go to battle. If he chose not to go to battle, there's no reason. He didn't understand from Ov exactly what the message was. Number two was he's perfectly safe. Number three, he had the Bali Bris with him. There's no reason, if he didn't want to, that he would go. And you tell somebody, listen, by the way, I need you to get out of your comfort zone. You're very comfortable, you're safe over here. And I want you to engage in a battle that looks like ridiculous, you'll never be able to win. Right? Who's doing that? Why did Og even think he had a chance of convincing Avraham to do that? You know why?
Avraham would do anything for Lot.
Because he's an Ivri. What does Ivri mean? Why was Avraham called Ivri?
Ivri.
What does that mean? So what?
Kane is on one side.
What does that mean?
He came over.
It means that
It's kind of like a very pejorative thing. Like saying, you know, you say somebody, this guy's from Mars. Makes me like, what? This guy has no clue what goes on in this world. He's totally not connected to what's going on over here. Avram, they said very derisively, he's an Ivri. He's on the other side of her. Meaning, what is the guy talking about? He's preaching one God. He's preaching, you know, kindness. And he's totally from a different planet. His lifestyle is so different than everybody else's here. And they said in a very pejorative way, who are you? There's one God, and you believe in kindness, and you have these principles that you can't believe in about Zara. You're an Ivri. You're from the wrong side of the tracks. You're a different planet. You're Avraham Nor. You're the other side of the river. And that's precisely why Og went there. Og said, the only person I can appeal to is Avraham, because you're an Ivri. You know what? Because you're a person that stands for principles. The biggest riot is that the whole country is saying one thing, and you're doing another thing. You're a man of principle. You're an Avraham Ivri. You're a man of principle. And because you're a man of principle, I now could appeal to you and say, your nephew's kidnapped. I don't make a difference to you. But anybody else? Who says, Lav Davka? So Yageh la Avram Ivri. He dafka going to Avram because he knew Avram was a man of principle. He's the Ivri. He stood on the other side of the river. He didn't care what anybody else said. And that was his goodness. And that's where Oig went to. Okay. So now we know that Oig went to Avram. And according to Medrash, he may have had an ulterior motive to get to Sarah. So we all know the Medrash, the famous Medrash. Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to fight Og Melech HaBashan. Why? Because Og had the schus that what?
He saved Lot.
He saved Lot. Well, he helped Avram save Lot. Or that he helped Avram, right? So that's the message. So the obvious question is, what kind of schus is that? He could care less about Lot. He did it to get the son. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that, he has a schus that he helped Avram. Why the hell bother? He wanted Avram killed.
Shows the power of...
You could learn the first shot, and then you don't have a problem.
Okay, of course, the second shot, right? You could say that. Okay, Benjamin, you're not really... That you see that every mitzvah, even a mitzvah of loy lishma, even if it's not bo lishma, but even a mitzvah loy lishma, because you're right, I don't know if you can say over the bo lishma, but even a mitzvah loy lishma gets some credit. A mitzvah loy lishma gets credit.
One second.
So there's a source that Oig has. Even if he did it for ulterior motives, that still doesn't take away that he did something good, or he did a mitzvah, or he helped Avram, and for that he'll be rewarded. Now I want you to know that you know there's a famous Gemara that says that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives. Kurdberg gives a goyim or a shayim rather reward in this world, and they don't have. When they come to the next world, they have nothing left. It's not fair. That's Hashem's pulling a fast one, right? And he gives
wouldn't
them.
Rather
what?
Wouldn't they rather attend?
Okay, now with it. Okay, I'll say a little differently. That you're absolutely right. More than they would rather it. There's no reward in the world to come. They wouldn't appreciate the reward in the world to come. In other words, let me say this one second. Hold on, one second. One second. Everyone's famous Gemara, but Lazar ben Yudaya, that right, you know, he had the type of this woman, he goes across the sea, and then this woman tells him, "You're such a low life." Everyone's Gemara Barazar, right? Yeah? Right?
Nope.
No?
He starts crying or something.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Lazar ben Yudaya was a mamash low life, and all he did was live a Zionist, the Gemara says. And he found about a certain Zionist across the sea, decided he wants to be with her when he got across the sea. So the Zionist of the year, mamash low life. And he began to cry, and he cried, to the sun and the moon, he cried to the stars, the whole measure. I'm not going to get into that now.
Until he died, right?
And then it says, he put his head between his two knees, he cried until his yatsa neshmasai, he still left him. And a basel came out, and Shemayim said, Rebbe, Elizabeth Adoya, you now have a share in the world to come. And Rebbe cried and said, look at this, Yesh kanalam bashachas. A person gets his world, get his whole olam haba in one moment. So people ask, what was Rebbe crying about? Was he jealous? Like I have to work my whole life to get ruchnius, right? And this guy sinned his whole life, and that's when he got the right. He got it, right? So that's not what Rebbe was not crying to that. Rebbe was not crying because look at this guy. He was a man to get his olam haba in 1 second, and I had to work my whole life to get it. And meaning like kind of regretting, why'd I have to be from my whole life? I could live it up the whole life. Last minute, do real tshuva and kavod shachas, right? It's not pshat l'chayr. Rebbe was not jealous of that. But Adrav, he's bemoaning the fact that yesh kana olamoy b'shachas. Everyone only gets his world in the world to come in one moment. What does that mean? This is Elazar ben Yudaya. He's going to go up to Shemayim. He's not going to have his ruchnis cannot be a very refined ruchnis. He has no shaykhs to it. It's like, let's say a guy, imagine a guy who is a big bucky in music in contemporary music. He loves it and he knows every single song backwards and forwards, right? And they say, listen, if you name all these songs, we'll give you a great present. And he names all the songs, he gets it right, they give him a present, they give him this Gavaldiga armchair with headphones, gets lots of music his whole day. Machai, except the music is classical music. Right? To him, that's painful. Right? There's no shaykh, but it means nothing. You go up to Shemayim, if you haven't refined your neshama, and they're giving you refined ruchnias, you can't even appreciate it. It's not shaykh. So he was crying, Yesh kana olam moy b'sha'achas. A person only gets his own. Whatever world he creates, that's what he has in the next world. He's not going to get the olam haba that Rebbe's going to get. He's not going to get the refined olam haba. He's not shaykh to it. The reason why Hashem gives Rishayim reward in this world is they're not shy to reward. It's like listen to classical music. So what are you going to give a rush in the world to come? Deeper ruchnius? It means nothing to him. And that's painful. It's like you guys sitting in a shir for 3 hours that you don't like learning Torah for. That's painful, right? So the Eved has to give a reward in this world because there's no compensating world. It's not going to work for him. It's not going to work for him. So in a sense, so it's not that Hashem is jipping the guy out. Hashem is giving reward in this world because there's nothing in the next world that you're going to appreciate. The way you've not developed your neshama. Right? That's why it says, yesh kana olam. Yesh kana olam moy. You only get your olam. Whatever you develop, that's what you get in the world to come. And if you didn't develop a spiritual world, you're not going to get that. So, over here also, I was to get rewarded in this world. That Mishraim was afraid to start up with him. It wasn't that. He wasn't, don't think it's chusim or olam haba. He has no shaykhus olam haba. But he got his chus in this world that Mishraim didn't want to start up with him. Because he did the mitzvah. I was like Lishma. Fine, he gets his chus, but it's only a lamoy. That's what he gets. But he's not going to start off with him. Right? With a friend to start off with him. Right? But it's not pshat that he's getting Olam Haba for this. He's not shaykh Olam Haba. Okay. That's one pshat.
So why did he marry getting saved?
Who?
In the
Mabel?
In the Mabel.
That's a different cheshbon. Hold on. That's a different cheshbon. Some say, it was other rabbi. These two are connected. That he was only saved by the Mabul so he could do this for Adam later on.
He had someone else to
No, because Og was a war. That's how he was able to survive the war. Because he was a giant. He was able to survive the war. Not everybody else got killed in the war. Alright?
Why did he live so much longer until Moshe's time?
Maybe the Schuss. Maybe it's part of the Schuss. He got from Adam. Okay? But the bottom line is this. But let's go a little step further. It's a shtickl mistake. When we say that the Medrash says that he really wanted to do this to kill, to have Avram kill to get the Sarah, we think that it means exactly on surface value. The guy is diabolically plotting to get Avram killed to get the Sarah. Who says? Understand that Torah Shel Peh. This is a big yisoid. When Hashem divides the Torah into Torah Shel Peh, Torah Shel Peh, how does he decide what goes Torah Shel Peh, what goes Torah Shel Peh? How does he pick? How does he choose? So one basic insight is Torah Shel Ksav only deals with the observable. Torah Shel Ksav deals with that which can't be observed. You know, there's no mention of Olam Haba in Torah Shel Ksav, you can't observe it. There's no mention of Neshama for that matter, you can't observe it. Torah Shel Ksav deals with the observable. Torah Shel Ksav deals with non-observable. I'll give you even a poshut example that's very basic. My daughter asked me this question. When she was like 5 years old, and that was in the summertime, I asked for Schwab, and he told me he was a girl. We will see in Parshas Yishlach and a few Parshas that it says that Yaakov takes his 11 children over the river. So Rashi asks, "Vadina heichanai?" So where was Dina? So Rashi says he put her in a box, right? She was hidden. So my daughter asked, "But it's still 12 children, because one's in a box. Why does it say 11 children? It's not true. He took 12 children over. Just Dina was in a box. Good gosh,
you could only see 11."
So says the Vilna Goyim, because the Torah Shel Ksav only writes the observable. Observe, you can only observe 11. You can't observe 12. That's why it's not Torah Shel Ksav. The Torah Shel Peh says she was there. But Torah Shel Ksav only is observable. The site of the Vilna Goyim, I'm sure it's not just his site, but that's how he answered the pshat. So it goes like this over here also. Don't think that pshat is necessarily that Oyek was thinking, aha, I want Avram killed, so let's send him to battle by saying that low schedule. It could be subconsciously. The Medrash deals with subconscious. That's unobservable. It could be, thought, I'm doing this for good reasons. I really want to help Avram out. I want to save Lot. The Torah is telling us deep down, you know what's really motivating him? Nah, we're so from Kai. Sometimes we pretend we're from, sometimes we do. But the Torah says, what's going on really deep? And that's, by the way, what is Musar in general? Musar in general is to figure out what's really driving me. Am I really doing because I'm L'Shem Shemayim? Or I'm doing because I want my name in lights? Or because whatever the case is. What's really going on? Musar is to really be honest. What's the driving force behind any particular action? So the Medrash is telling us, on a conscious level, it could be Taka wanted to save Lot. And really, he's rewarded. And he gets chus for that. But Chazal tell us deep down, you know what's really going on? He really wanted Sarah. And that's what he may not have noticed it. That's called the subconscious. So Freud thought he discovered the subconscious. Chazal talked about subconscious 1,000 years ago. In Parshas Yisro, I'll give you another example, very important example, stop because it's a major Yisroel. It says, Vayichad Yisro. When Yisro heard that Amalek was defeated, Vayichad Yisra. So Rashi has two pshatim. Vayichad either means he was joyful. He heard, oh, Baruch Hashem, the Jews defeated Amalek. Or he brings out another pshat, Chedudin Chedudin, that these are, he had goosebumps. Rashi says that because he was still a guy, and my son guy still feel bad for guy. So when he heard Amalek defeated, it made him feel bad. He had goosebumps. So the mamish two opposite pshatim. He's happy or has goosebumps. What's the answer? There's both. On the outside level, a big smile on his face. He was very happy. Happy for Klal Yisrael. Chazal are telling us, on the subconscious level, he still felt badly. Because as a guy, he felt bad the other guy being destroyed. And you know, he still wasn't totally severed from the guyish mentality, so to speak. So, Vayichad means both. And they're not steerous. One's a conscious level. Vayichad on a conscious level, Vayichad means he smiled. But the Chazal are giving us a subconscious level. Rabbi says that's the biggest sight that the Medrash goes into the subconscious of a person. And like I said, it's not Freud that discovered subconscious. Chazal will tell me it's all about subconscious motives way, way before that. We'll stop here.